I appreciate the privilege of being here very much. Very thankful for the Lord's blessings. The scripture tells us, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it, and we certainly need the Lord's help today. Yes. I'd like to go to 1 Samuel chapter 25. First Samuel chapter 25 is the story of Abigail and Nabal. And Nabal had created a great offense against David. We read in verse 14, "But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master.' And he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, and all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him.' Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses." Verse 23, "And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground." Now David's response to this offense was take about 400 armed men, and he was ready to shed blood. "Abigail saw David, she hasted, lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, 'Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. Now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. And evil hath not been found in thee all thy days." I want you to notice that Abigail was in no way responsible for the offense, but yet she took full responsibility for it. She said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be." Think about what the result of her doing that was. Her being willing to put herself in danger. Imagine going and confronting 400 armed men, a woman by herself. Quite a brave woman, wasn't she? Think of the end result. Her household was spared from dying that day. And furthermore, this woman had the insight to recognize there's something that's going to happen to you too, David. If you were to do this, there would be a blot on you and your future. And she spared David of that blot, that reproach that he could never wipe away. What a wise woman. Because she was willing to say, "Let that iniquity be upon me. Let me be the one that suffers the consequence." I'm amazed by that, and I think she stands out as a true woman of character in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 14 says, "The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it." This was a wise woman, able to pacify the wrath of a king. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes 9 and 14, "There was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man." There is a way of wisdom that we can have that can help deliver the city. Whatever the situation may be, whatever the enemy may be, or we can act in such a way that it simply escalates the problem, that it brings those messengers of wrath. May God help us that we'll be wise like Abigail, like this poor wise man that delivered his own city. You know, he benefited from that, but so did his family, so did everybody else in the city. And perhaps even the king that was coming to besiege the city. There's such a blessing from having an attitude. "Let this iniquity be on me." Don't expect everything to be fair and just in life, but I'll be willing to take some responsibility here if I can be a peacemaker. I'd like to tell about Onesimus, the runaway slave that was converted to Christianity. Paul knew this man. Apparently he was saved under Paul's ministry. And Paul wrote to Philemon about him in Philemon chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." You notice that Paul did not say, "I beseech you for that slave, that runaway slave, the one who did wrong," but instead he said, "my son." In other words, there's a bond there. He's a part of me, and I'm beseeching you on his behalf. "Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, if thou count me therefore a partner. Receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides." Amazing. This runaway slave, this man that did you wrong, I call him my son. I'm sending him back now, and if he owes you something, put that on my account, and I'll pay it. What a beautiful story. And, by the way, let me remind you, you owe me some debts too. Don't we all owe some debts? Which of us can take our fellow servant by the throat and say, "You owe me," when the Lord has done so much for us? It's a beautiful thing to take the role of an intercessor. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7. First Corinthians 6 and 7, "Now there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to the law one with another. Why do ye not rather take the wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Now ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." If we're going to be like Abigail, we're going to be like that wise man, we're going to have to be willing to take some wrong from time to time. There will be times that we need to be willing to say, I wasn't really at fault in this situation, but let the iniquity be on me. If there's anything that's owed, I'll pay. Isn't it human nature to want to win the argument? To want to see that our rights are taken care of, that everything is fair and just? We like that, don't we? But there comes a time in life, if we will be the peacemaker, if we will be that wise man that somehow averts the war, that stops the siege, that we have to be willing to say, let this iniquity be on me. I'll take responsibility. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Luke 10 and 30, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, maybe there were people that told this man, whatever you do, don't take the road to Jericho. It's dangerous. There are thieves lying in wait. Don't go by yourself. Don't go heavily laden with merchandise. But this man went. And maybe this Levite the priest that went that way was thinking, you should have known better than that. Which of us have taken the wrong road before in life, have gone down a road and gotten ourselves in trouble, and someone could pass by and say, I told you so. Shouldn't have done it. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. This man was left for dead. And the religious leaders of that day considered it defiling to touch a dead body. Maybe this man wanted to make sure that he didn't defile himself. If this man happened to pass while he was caring for him or whatever, I don't know what all his reasoning was, but he chose to pass on. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. See, put that on my account. In no way responsible for this man's foolishness. In no way responsible for the crime. But I'll pay the price. Whatever it takes to restore this man, I'll pay it. You know who really owed the debt to the innkeeper would have been the thieves. They're the ones that created the damage. And they were long gone. But the role of an intercessor, one who will say, let the iniquity be on me, is a beautiful role. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 7. The Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy God, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Why do you think God told Moses, let me alone? I believe that God knew Moses. I believe that God knew Moses' whole heart and life were entwined with these people. That he loved them, that he was willing to sacrifice for them. Moses, let me alone. Let me destroy this evil, and I'll make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of, I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil that he thought to do unto this people. Verse 27, and he said unto them, speaking of Moses, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son, upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. Now will I go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord, and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Moses was really bested in this, wouldn't you say? Lord, if you won't forgive this people, I'm a part of them, and blot me out as well. In other words, upon me let this iniquity be. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. What an example. A man who was willing to take responsibility for those things that he was really not responsible for. Stephen, as the stones were striking his body, said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Yes. Amazing. These Bible heroes tower in my mind. God, help us to have the same kind of spirit. Yes. Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. You know, this world is evil, and we look around, and it's natural to have righteous indignation. It's natural to have feelings of anger by the types of things that are going on in our world today. But may God help me and help all of us that our attitude toward the world will be, Lord, please have mercy. Don't lay this sin to their charge, Lord. Forgive our nation its sins, our leaders. As corrupt as some of them may be, Lord, have mercy and forgive, I pray. Jesus, while on the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I picture Jesus with the Father and having this conversation. Son, creation is so wicked. Leave me alone that I may destroy them in my anger. And Jesus saying, Lord, on me let this iniquity be. I'll take responsibility, Lord. I appreciate the Lord. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not on me and not on you, but on the Lord, the iniquity of us all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saying, upon me let this iniquity be. Thank you for bringing a gift of appeasement to God and saying, consider the gift that I'm bringing you here today. Consider the promises you made. Lord God, don't destroy the people. Wounded for whose transgressions? Wounded for my transgressions and for yours. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. This is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That's not fair, to be buffeted, to be afflicted for things that are not my fault. But when I take that patiently, that's acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, notice this, reviled not again. Is that easy? Not according to human nature, but God can give us this grace. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. God, make us like Abigail, like Moses, like Paul, who wanted the returned slave, brought into a place of acceptance, wanted his debts wiped out, willing to pay his debt for him. God, make us like the Good Samaritan, who was unwilling to pass by on the other side, who had compassion. The scripture said, can we have compassion today? People that don't deserve it, people that are so easy to despise, can we have compassion on those folks? Can we be like that wise man that delivered his city, even though nobody seemed to take notice, nobody remembered him, that he was wise and he brought deliverance? God, make me a peacemaker. Make me one that has the same spirit that these Bible heroes had. May God bless you today.